Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nem Ches. And we begin 6 lines into the widest lines with the words Amar Rami Bar Chama. Remind ourselves that we have been discussing a machlokas between Rav Chisda and Rabba, the two great Amorayim, as to whether there is this principle of Hoel. Do we say Hoel Umikloy Le Orchim, for example? Do we in fact say that one is allowed to cook on Yontif, even though he's cooking for a weekday, and not be over Nisa Daraisa? So Rav Chisda says, you're over in Issa Daraisa. There is no such concept as Hoel. On the other hand, Rabba says, no, you're not over in Issa Daraisa, because since guests may come, Hoel, Umikloy, Le'archim, since guests could come, therefore this food could be edible on Yontif and used for Yontif usage, and therefore you're not over in Issa Daraisa. So this fundamental difference between Rav Chisda and Rabba, can you or can you not apply this principle of Hoel, which we've talked about the last couple of days, we're going to continue discussing now. So again, 6 lines from the start of the widest lines in the Gemara, Mem Ches Omer Aleph. Omer Rami Bar Chomer, Hoder Rav Chisda Rabba, this machlokus that I just reminded us about between Rav Chisda and Rabba, let us say that this is the same machlokus we had in our Mishnah. Machlokus Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshuhi. Remind ourselves in the Mishnah, Ketzad Bafrishin Chala Bituma. If you have a Tumeya dough on Yontif, dough that is Tumeya, so how are you going to be Mafrish Chala on it on Pesach? If you Mafrish the Chala when you normally would do it when it's in the dough state, it's Tumeya, and therefore you're not allowed to eat it, and you're not allowed to go and bake something or cook something on Yontif if you can't eat it. So therefore, you're stuck. You want to eat this dough on Pesach, you want to have fresh matzah. However, if you go and knead the dough, you're going to have part of it that is not allowed to be baked, and it's going to turn into chametz. So Rabbi Eliezer says, bake the whole thing, and then afterwards you can be mafrish from it to challah. And the Gemara here explains, let us say, Rami Bachama says, the Rabbi Eliezer sover aminan hoel. He says, Rabbi Eliezer holds hoel, since if you wanted to, you could go and separate from each piece once you have it baked. Say, I'll take off a little piece of challah from each one, instead of, let's say you would make 24 loaves and you take off 1/24th and give that to the Kohen as challah. So in this situation, bake all 24 loaves and take off 1/24th from each piece rather than taking off a whole dough and make that the entire dough being challah. So since you could do that, hoel, since if you wanted to, you could take off from each piece, so each piece is allowed to be baked. You can bake all the doughs. And Rabbi Yeshua Savar, no, you can't do that. Lo amrin and ho, you have to go and take off the entire dough. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, since you're mafrish challah as a dough, you're not allowed to go and bake that dough that is challah no longer belongs to you. And therefore, you're not over by your or by your matzah. That's, let us say, Rabbi Rachama says, this machlokus, you know, Chista and Rabba is actually machlokus tanoim. Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer says ho, Rabbi Yeshua says no ho. So I'm Rabbi Papa, no, not necessarily so. Vidilma, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam. In the Mishnah, you know why Rabbi Eliezer said you'll have to bake all of them, not because of hoel. Lo kama Rabbi Eliezer hasam demrinu hoel. No. What's his reasoning? Elo de idna de ko aila le tanura. Because at the time that you put all of these doughs into the oven, kol chodo ve chodo chas yolele di day. Everyone, in fact, was perfectly edible. Who says this is going to have challah? Who says this is going to have challah? Who says this is going to have challah? So as each one is put in, it is not yet mufrash as challah. So therefore, each one potentially could be the one that you're going to eat. And therefore, there is no concept of hoel over here. It's right now, everyone is perfectly good. However, by the din of hoel, of a hocha, when you're dealing with baking on yontif, and you're baking for chol, to say that you're not chayiv because of hoel, because umikloy le'orchim, no. Avalhacha, de la'orchin, hu de'chazi, l'didei lo'chazi. This is really only good for the orchin. You just ate lunch. You just finished off. You're not having any more bread. You're not having a matzah. So on a regular yontif, if you're baking on yontif for chol, so then we don't say hoel umikloy le'orchim, and therefore you'll be chayiv. It's really only good Dilo Arachin hu dechazi, because you already ate, so it's only good for Arachin. Lo didei lo chazi, because you're not hungry. So you can't apply the principle of Hoel according to Rabbi Eliezer. And therefore, just like he doesn't apply the principle there, Ema hachanami dilo amin ho, he doesn't say it over here too, that since you, if you wanted to, you could have taken off from each of the 24 doughs, 1/24th of each dough, so we don't say that here too. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer, Lav Dafka, aligns with Rabba to say Hoel. Likewise, Amar Rav Shisha, Bered Ravidi, also, we don't align Rabbi Yeshua with the principle of Rav Chisda that says he doesn't hold Hoel. Because maybe, Vidilma, Lohi, in fact, Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold like Rav Chisda. Likewise, Ad kan lo kama Rabbi Yeshua hasam delo minin hoel. In the case of all the does on Yontit that are Tomei, and now what are you going to do? You're going to be Mafrish Chali, have a problem. There he says, I can't look over Yeshua Hossam, the Lord, we don't say over there, oh, you could take off 1/24th from each doll. There he doesn't say that. Ella, because he holds that Dika Chada, the Lo Chazya, Lola Didei, Loli Archen. Because bottom line is, one of these does is going to be Chala. And therefore, it's Tameya Chala, and it's not going to be able to be eaten. So the bottom line is, after all is said and done, you cooked something on Yontif. You baked something here on Yontif that is usur to be eaten on Yontif. So you can't apply Holim Kloy Le'orchim type of idea. That's over here in our Mishnah, however. But maybe in general, Rabbi Yeshua, in fact, does hold. Avol Hocho D'Chozi Mias Le'orchim. When you're baking on Yontif for Chol, bottom line is, if guests come, you are going to give them all of that stuff that you baked for Chol. So therefore, maybe in fact, he would imply the principle of Chol. Therefore, Rami Bachama is wrong. And based upon Rav Papa showing that Rabbi Lezer doesn't necessarily hold Chol, and Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi saying that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't necessarily not hold from Chol, the bottom line is that Rami Bachama's statement aligning the Machlokas of Rav Chista and Rabba with Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua is not correct. Where it says, so they said this, Amrua Rabbonon, Kameh Rav Yirmi Rav Zera. So they said over Rami Rachama's Shita that we should align Rabba and Rav Chista with Rabbi Eleza and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yirmi Kibla. Rabbi Yirmi said, Tak, I like what Rami Rachama said. And Rav Zera, lo Kibla. Rav Zera said, no, I don't like what Rami Rachama said. Mestama, for the reasons that Rav Papa and Rav Shisha Breid Ravidi brought down. So, Amale Rav Yirmi Lo Rav Zera. Rav Yirmi says to Rav Zera, again, Rav Yirmi accepted this concept of Rami Bar Chama, that in fact, the Machlokas Rabbi Rav Chista does align with Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, and he said to him, Milsa de Kashalon, the Asya Kamoshani, we've had so many years of having trouble understanding what this Machlokas is between, but my pligi, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, Hashta Amrua Mishmed the Gavir Rabba. Now that Rami Bar Chama, this great Gavir Rabba, has given us a way to reconcile why Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua are arguing. They're arguing about Howel. Rabbi Eliezer holds Howel, and Yeshua doesn't hold Howel, as Rami Bar Chama said. Velo Nikabla, and we shouldn't accept this great understanding, this great reconciliation. So Rav Zera did not accept it. So Rav Zera says to Rav Yirmiya, what can I do? Amalei, Hechi Yakabla, how can I possibly accept this teretz? I think it's wrong, because I'll show you why it's wrong. The Tanina, because we learned in the following Braisa, Amalei Rabbi Yoshua, the Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, Ludvarecha, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, Harehu over Mishum Lo Sase Komalocha. Now that's the Girsa that we have in the Gemara. On the side, the Mesar Sasha says that this pasuk Lo Sase Komalocha is actually said in regards to Hilchas Shabbos, and therefore he says Ulai Tzorich Lomar. He suggests that it should say over here Komalocha Lo Yeoseh Bohem, which is written in Gabi Chagah Pesach in Shmos and Parshas Bo. So in any event, whichever pasuk it is, let's assume it's the pasuk from Bo, Komalocha Lo Yeoseh Bohem, and therefore it says you are not allowed to do Malocha on Yontif, and therefore, how can you go and bake all of these doughs on Yontif, which you're not allowed to eat? So whatever dough you're baking here, that's challah. You've just baked something, and you're over the issur of baking on Yontif. Kom locha liyaseh bohem. That's what Rabbi Yeshua asked Rabbi Eliezer. You're saying, Rabbi Eliezer, you're allowed to bake all these doughs, but the dough that you're baking that is challah, you're not allowed to eat, and therefore you're over melacha. B'shosuklei. And in this brisa, when Rabbi Yeshua asked this question to Rabbi Eliezer, the brisa doesn't give any response. Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer v'shasiklei. Now, if you're going to tell me that he should have responded because he holds Howel, why didn't he say so? Why didn't Rabbi Eliezer respond and say, no, you're not over Malach here, because Howel, since we could say over here that if he wanted to, he could be mafreshed afterwards. Just take off 1/24th from each dough. And therefore, that would solve the problem. But he didn't answer this v'shasiklei. You see that he doesn't hold Ho'il. So that's why Rav Zera did not accept this beautiful shita of Rami Bar Chama. But Rav Yirmiya did accept it. And he says, Amalei, Rav Yirmiya tells Rav Zera, wait, you think you have no problems? Well, Taimech, we have another braisa. Ha'detina b'braisa, we have a braisa that Rabbi Eliezer questioned Rabbi Yeshua. And Amalei Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Yeshua, L'dvarech, according to you, how come you're not concerned when you're saying leave the dough that is Tomei dough that you separated the challah from and just let it sit and become chametz, you're not allowed to bake it. How are you over? Mishum ba'yirah ba'yimatzeh. What about that concern? And how did Rabbi Yeshua respond? He didn't respond. The Braisa doesn't give us any answer that Rabbi Shua gave back to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, we know that he did have an answer. So, why didn't he answer him? So, Hochanami Dlo Hadale. Since you're telling me he didn't answer him, there must be no answer. But we know in our Mishnah, Hochom Hadale B'masnesen. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua clearly responded to this question that Rabbi Eliezer pose, then how come you're not over by your or by your matzah? Because he preempted it and he said it's not in our Mishnah. Lo zeu chametz shemusar in olav. This isn't the chametz that we're told about mishum by your or by your matzah. That isn't the problem by your or by your matzah. The problem is only if it's your chametz and it's not your chametz. It belongs to the kohanim because you were mafresh challah from it. You're not over by your Rabbi Matzi, and no individual Kohen has actually gotten it, so no individual Kohen is over by your Rabbi Matzi. So therefore, there's actually no problem being mafresh to challah when it's still in the dough state, and this dough will ferment, it will come chametz, because you're not working it anymore, and you're not baking it. So therefore, no problem, because nobody's over by your Rabbi Matzi. Now, in the Braisa, he didn't answer that. In the Mishnah, he clearly did. So therefore, just like the Braisa just doesn't mention the answer that Rabbi Yoshua gave to Rabbi Eliezer, so too, Rav Yemi says in the first price that he brought down, we said, what about being over the Melacha? Kom Melacha l'yasebahem. So there, Rabbi Eliezer didn't give an answer, v'shasaklei. But just the fact that the price doesn't give an answer doesn't mean that he couldn't have said, ho'el. So, elo shasaklei b'braisa, u'mahadlei masnisen. Just like Rabbi Yeshua didn't respond in the braisa, but responded in our Mishnah, so too, Hochanami said the same thing. The Rabbi Eliezer, eimer, shasaklei b'masnisen, v'ahadlei b'michul tachrite. In this braisa, he decided not to respond for whatever the reason. The braisa doesn't record what he responded. But there's another place that he responded, ho'el. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya, Rav Zeira, that Rami Racham is not right, and therefore Rav Yemi says, I accept what Rami Racham has said. Now, Tanya, Rabbi Omer, how do we paskin halachic Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi holds that we in fact paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that you should go and bake all the doughs, and it's not a problem, you're not over any malacha on Yontif for baking the dough that's going to be challah eventually, because at this moment in time, Mistami, you're saying, oh, well, if you wanted to, you could take off 1/24 from each dough that was baked, and therefore you baked each of them beheter. Each dough could be a dough that would be perfectly reasonable to eat. That's the opinion of Rabbi. But Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Halacha ki Ben Beseira. Rabbi Yitzchak says, no, remember we had the opinion of Ben Beseira, which we actually said that both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua don't disagree with, and that is, go and put it in cold water. When you put the dough in cold water, it will stop the fermenting process, it will stop the making it into chometz process, so you're rested at that moment in time, and therefore, you don't have to go and bake it and be over potentially baking on Yontif something that you're not allowed to eat on Yontif, and you don't have to worry about it turning into chometz, because maybe you would be over by Rabbi Matzeh. Do the simple thing. Don't bake it, but don't let it become chametz. Put it into cold water. That's what Ben Beseira said, and that's what Rav Yitzchak says is the halacha. Now the Gemara asks a new question. This is a continuation of this brisa, but it's a new question that the brisa raises. How much dough should a person need, man or a woman, when they're kneading on Pesach, in order that you don't have a concern that it will become chametz? Just remind ourselves that as long as you're working on a dough, the dough can't become chametz. That's why in the matzah factories, they're constantly working. They're saying, I'm doing this l'mitzvah matzah. They're making it for shmura matzah. It should be the yotzei, the mitzvah. And they're constantly working on the dough, so it's never left alone, and it can't become chametz if it's constantly being kneaded and worked upon. Then they quickly put it into the oven, and it bakes before it can become chametz. Very good. So what is the size of a dough, the maximum size that we recommend that a man or a woman work on before they go and knead it? Because if it's too large a dough, we're concerned that parts of it will not be kneaded at all times. It will become chametz. So the kamashir isu, what is the size of a dough recommended you should work on? So Rishmo ben Osher ben Yochanan Roka, Omer, he says, b'chita, when you're dealing with a dough that's made out of wheat, so that dough, the maximum size that you should have is kabit, is two kav. That's the amount of dough, a certain measure. A kav was a well-known amount. There are six kavs in a saw. So this well-known amount, two kavim, a third of a saw, that's the maximum amount of wheat flour that you should go be working with to make a dough, because otherwise it's going to be too big and too difficult to guarantee that you're working on the dough the whole time. If you're dealing with barley, or besorin, it's a little bit less likely, according to this opinion of Rishmol, Benosha Ryokan Roka, to become chametz. So you can work with a slightly larger amount, shlosha kavim, a half of a saw. You can work with three kavim, and that's fine. Rabbi Nosson disagrees, says the exact opposite. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Mishum Rilezer, he says in the name of Rilezer, Chilav Advarim, the exact opposite. Wheat is less likely to become chametz, so you can use a larger amount of three kavim. And barley is more likely to become chametz, you should use a smaller amount of two kavim. So they have a machlokis over here, which one is more likely to become chametz, wheat or barley. Now, we seem to have a stira. For Tanya, it says in another brisa, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Broka Omer, Bechitin Shloshes Kavin, Ubisorin Arba. Now, besides the fact that Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Rabbi Yochanan Broka argues with Nosson as to which is more likely to become chametz, here he seems to be arguing with himself. In the first brisa, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Rokanan says that you're only allowed to use 2 kavs of wheat and 3 kavs of barley. And the second brisa, he says you're allowed to use 3 kavs of wheat and 4 kavs of barley. So he's intrinsically arguing with himself, never mind with Rav Nosson. So Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. Rav Shmuel ben Osher, Rav Yochanan Broka, that really has no steer here. One he says 2, 3, and one he says 3, 4, different types of grain, even though one's talking about wheat, 2 versus 3, and one is talking about barley, 3 versus 4, but it's not the same wheat and same barley in both brises. Lo kasha. Ha b'chasichasa. When the first brisa says that you're allowed to only make 2 of wheat and 3 of barley, 2 kavim of wheat is the maximum size dough, 3 kavim of barley is the maximum size dough, that's when dealing with very finely sifted flour. So actually says, kamaisa, the first brisa, b'malyasa, with a very, very finely sifted grain. Basraisa, the second brisa, which says 3 and 4 respectively, that's mechasichasa, that's dealing with the brisa. Second brisa with 3 and 4 is dealing with the grains that aren't as good. The 3 of this inferior type of grain is the equivalent of the 2 of the better type of a grain. So therefore, the second brisa is dealing, the second brisa, where you can have 3 and 4 respectively of wheat and barley, is when it's not so good. And the first brisa, when it's 2 or 3, that's when it's very good. And therefore, there's no stira within the opinion of Rishmo, Benosha, of Yochanan ben Broka. Albeit, he does disagree with Rabbi Nosson as to which one is more likely to become chametz faster. So his opinion is that wheat, whether you're dealing with the very finely sifted one, the good stuff, or the not so good stuff, wheat is always going to become chametz quicker than barley, and therefore you have to use a smaller amount of wheat than barley, and it just depends whether it's 2, 3, or 3, 4, depending on whether it's high quality or not. And Rabbi Nosson disagrees. Rabbi Nosson says, no, barley is more likely to become chametz and use the smaller amounts of barley and the larger amount of wheat. On Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Shmamino, we see from over here, Gerinin chite chasichasa michitim ayasa. We see that the inferior type of grain called the chasichasa is respectively on a per rata basis more inferior than the good wheat. The chasichasa is respectively more inferior than the good wheat. Tvei, more so, mi degarinon sare chasichosa mi sare miyosa. In respect to the barley, the inferior wheat is more inferior than the inferior barley is to the good barley. Why is that? Because di luhasim tilsa, v'hocho river. Now, what does that mean? The wheat, when from being very good, you could use 2 only, to when it's bad, you use only 3. Now, that's a 50% more, which the Gemara refers to as a third of the total. So you're going from 2 to 3, so the 3 is going to be a third more than the 2, if you look at it from the point of view of the entire total amount of 3. So it's 3 versus 2, that's 1/3 more. 3 versus 2 is 1/3 more. As opposed to it's 3 versus 4, so when you look at the total amount of 4, it's added on an extra quarter, Baruch HaRiva, and therefore it is considered a bigger diminution from the good wheat, from 2 to 3, than from 3 to 4. Amar Rav, Rav tells us, Kaba Milogono, there's a place called Logono, so if you have a kav that comes from that place, and you're using it on Pesach, Kaba Milogono Lepischa, that's the amount that you're allowed to go and use. Now, before we said Kabayim, so Rav clearly argues with the opinion that we brought down before, that the maximum amount that you can do is 2, or we said sometimes 3, 3 versus 4. Rav clearly holds 1 kav was the maximum amount. This kav that came from this place, Loginah, that is the amount that you're allowed to need, the maximum amount that you're allowed to need on Pesach. And he says the same thing applies for Challah. He says that's the amount that is considered a significant amount that you have to be mafrish Challah from it. As we pointed out, in our days, we say about 5 pounds is a chiyav, a takeoff Challah, with a bracha, and mamachmir to take off even if it's less than 5 pounds, roughly 2.5 pounds to take off to be mafrish challah today, even without a bracha. Now, Rav's statement is now going to be argued by the Gemara. Now, we have the Gerson argument is Vatanya, but it's actually a Mishnah, Vatnan. This is a Mishnah in challah, and the Mishnah tells us, we turn to the Amud Beis, Mishnah tells us chamisha revoim kamach biot, that the proper amount that you need to have of dough in order to go and take off challah is 5 quarters. Chameshis revoim, a rova is a rova kav, so you need 5 quarters and a little bit more according to the girsa that we have. Chameshis revoim, 5 quarters of a kav, so in other words, 1.25 kavin. Vaod, a little bit more than that. Rashi is actually not goras the word vaod. Tosus points out Rashi lo goras vaod because he holds mishum de chamisha lugin tziporiyim betzimtzum hevekiisas midbar. Now Rashi goes through a whole calculation as to where we get this idea that you need this amount of dough to take off challah. It's based upon asiris soifah in the Chumash. We won't go through the calculations now. You can go through them in Rashi if you want. But the bottom line is, there's a machlokis as to these calculations. And Rashi clearly holds like the opinion that doesn't have the word va'od here. And he says it's betzimtzum, it's an exact amount. That is like the sheet of the Chachamim. But the Rabbeinu Tam says, if you have the gears of va'od, that's according to the opinion of Rav Yossi, and you need a little bit more than 5 quarters of a kav. 1.25 kavin. In any event, whatever the gears is, 5/4 of a kav, or a little bit more than 5/4 of a kav, it's not a kav. And Rav said, the shear is a kav from Loganah, so he's arguing here with a Mishnah in Challah. So Gemara says, no, Hachikama, this is Rav saying, that this kaba mi Loganoi, this kav that came from this place, Loganoi, nami ahai shira koi. It's the equivalent of 5/4 of a kav from every place else. The Rebbeinu Chananel says this exactly. Chamisha revoyim va'od, he has the gears of od, hein shir hakemach lohotzi mehen challah. So he says the two are equivalent doses. This kav from Loganoi was a slightly bigger kav than the kav that was the regular kav, and it was the equivalent of 5/4 of a rova kav. In other words, it was 1.25 kav. So Rav is not arguing with the Mishnah and Challah. Mark Ketanin says, I'm Rav Yosef. Hani noshi d'don. The women nowadays, again, we normally talk about the women baking the matzah because that's the more typical custom that it was that the women would bake than the men. But the same din applies to a man. Hani noshi d'don. Our women nowadays, Rav Yosef says, now glameth for kapiza, kapiza lepischa. They're much more machmir than the shirim that we brought down, which said you can use 2 kabim, or even Rav that says 1 kab from a logona. They would go and make a kapiza. A kapiza is 3/4 of a kab, and they were machmir to use even a smaller amount of dough to make sure that they're constantly working on the dough, and therefore he says they would use a smaller amount than this kab. No glamefa kapiza, kapiza lepischa. They would only use 3/4 of a kab to make a dough at any one time. They wouldn't go and need a larger dough because the concern that it could become machmetzis, it would become chametz because they weren't working the entire dough, so they use a smaller dough. That's what Rabbi Yossi said. Abaye asks his Rabbi, Omele Abaye, my daitech Rabbi, what are you thinking? What is your reason to say that that's a good practice that the women are using a smaller amount, this 3/4 of a kav? L'chumra, oh, this sounds like it's a chumra, so you're praising it? No, but it's a chumra. Albeit in one way it's a chumra, but it's going to lead to a leniency. Why is that? Because now, if the shear, the minimum shear of taking off challah is 5/4 kavim, in other words, you need to have a shear of 1.25 kavim, they're only having a shear of 0.75 kavim. So therefore, while they're being very good in machmir and not having the dough potentially become chametz, but you're also taking away from the kohanim and they're not taking off challah because the dough is not big enough to take off challah. So this is a chumra in regards to Pesach, but it's a kula in regards to being mafresh challah. To call mafka lemi challah. Now they're no longer taking off challah. So Amalei, Rav Yosef says to Abaye, no. They're getting the best of both worlds here. They're being machmir in regards to Chas Pesach, and therefore it's not going to become a dough that's not being fully worked. And at the same time, they're still taking off challah. They're being mafresh challah on a daraisa level because the avdon k'Rabbi Eliezer, because they hold like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And again, the gear that we have is this is a braisa, the Tanya. But again, the Masoros HaShas says it should be the Tanan. This is, in fact, a Mishnah in challah as well. And it says in this Mishnah, the Rabbi Eliezer Omer, when you're taking off dough and taking off challah from it, harode v'nosin lasal, if you put it into the oven and they would attach the slabs of dough to the walls of the oven. They didn't have them on grates like we would put them in. They would attach the slabs of dough onto the walls of the oven, and then they would roda. After it was baked, they would take them off. This is called the roda, the bread from the matzah from the walls of the oven. The nosi l'sal, and they would put them into a basket. And this basket has sal mitzarvin l'chalos. Even though they had a 0.75 kav and a 0.75 kav and a 0.75 kav dough, but they put them all together, and they had more than the shear that was necessary to take off challah, and the basket would be mitzarv them as breads afterwards, and asal mitzarv in l'challah, and they would be taking off challah midaraisa. And in fact, the Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yehuda Amar Shmuel said, Halachic Rabbi Lezer, this is the way we paskin. So these women, they were being machmir in Hilchus Pesach, not to make too big a dough, to take the chance that it would come chomes, but at the same time, they were also machmir, like the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, that it was still mechuyev midoraisa in challah. That's what Rabbi Yosef told Abaye. Abaye says, no, Rabbi, Amalei, hoyit mar Allah, but we learned, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, lo shanu ela kikaro shel bavel, shenosh chozumizu, that opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that you can put them all in the basket and make the chiyav of challah on a deraisa level, that's only when you're dealing with the bavel type of loaves, that these karos of bavel, shenoshchos zu mizu, they're attached. Sometimes you buy challah rolls from the store, and the challah rolls are all attached to each other. You have to pull them apart. So when they're attached like that, so then I can understand why they're all considered to be one big dough still, and therefore you can count them up all together till you make the minimum shear of challah and be mafrish challah with a bracha midaraisa. However, avol ke'ochin, when there are these doughs that are what we call, Rashi says, a foreign language term, he says, aruchin uktsarin, they're long and narrow. And he says, v'ein noshin zeh mizeh, and they're not really attached to each other. So then, this din of Rabbi Eliezer doesn't apply. So that would be great if they were making only these loaves that are the kikaros shel bavel. But they're making the ochin type of matzah or rolls. So then they wouldn't be following the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that they'd be chayev in challah by putting them all in the same basket. So that's what Abaye says to his Rabbi, Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef says, no, that's not a problem. Hoyt my law. Your question was already asked and answered. And Amar Rabbi Chanina, Afilu Kiyochen. The Rabbi Chanina said that Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that it's Mitzarif in the basket, is even if they're not the Kikaros of Bavel, and even if they're the Ochen type, that they're not actually attached to each other, but just being in the same basket, even though they're not attached, makes it a Chiyav Daraisa, and you can be Mafrish Challah with a Bracha. By Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the following Shailah, Tavla, what about if you have a tray? She'ein lo levizbizin. It doesn't have a border around it. It doesn't have a raised edge. So it's a flat tray without any borders around it. Mahu. Do we say in this situation there's no base kibble? This tray is a plain flat tray without any raised borders around it to hold in the doughs, to hold in the challahs. And therefore, in this situation, we don't follow the opinion that it's mitzarfen like in a basket, like Rabbi Eliezer says. Or we say, no, even though it's not in a bordered tray, but even though it doesn't have any raised borders around it, it's still considered a kli to be mitzarif olden. That's what Rabbi Yirmiyah asks. Rabbi Yirmiyah is famous throughout Shas for asking these type of questions. So the question is as follows. Toch kli bo'inon, do you need to have a base kibble? That when Rabbi Eliezer says the mitzarif b'kli, it's because it's a kli, it has a base kibble. And here, this tavla doesn't have the leviz bezin, and therefore it is not considered a kli with a base kibble, and therefore it's not able to combine them. Or do we say, Odilma? No. Avir kli, but you need the space, the airspace of the kli to go and be mitzdarfit. It doesn't have to be a base kibble. It just has to be within the same airspace of a kli, and it does have it. How do we answer? Teiku. We don't give Rav Yirmiyah a teretz. We frequently don't. The famous Gemara in Bava Basra, Rav Yirmiyah is thrown out of the Beis Medrash for asking these types of questions too often, but then, of course, he's returned to the Beis Medrash, and all is good. Boy says, Tanya, we finally conclude this sugya with a brisa. It says in the following brisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer has sal mitzarfen. As we pointed out, the brisa follows the shita that we said to Rabbi Eliezer, that putting them in the basket after they're baked can also be mitzarf them together, even though they're not touching each other, even though they're not physically attached in any way, shape, or form. Nevertheless, they can all be considered as one still chiyav in challah, and you can go take off from this larger group of separate baked challahs or matzahs and be mitzarf them. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, no. Tanur mitzarfim says, when they're in the oven, that is the tziruf. And then even if you don't put them in a basket afterwards, Rabbi Yeshua would say, the fact that they were all in the oven at the same time, that also created the chiyuv of challah on all these separate doughs. And then you have the opinion of Shimon Gamliel Omer. He says, Kikor Shobavo Shinoshlo Zumizu Mitzdarfos. He was the one that said the opinion that they have to be attached to each other in order to be Mitzdarf. If they were the Ochin, if they were the long, narrow, smaller types of those that aren't attached to each other, then they're not Mitzdarf together to make the Shear of Challah. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Sholosh Noshim Loshos Ki Achas. If three women wish to, they can go simultaneously, each go take a separate dough, work on it. Now, they only had a small oven. Only one woman's dough fit into the oven at a time. No problem. All three can start at the same time, Rabbi Gamliel says. V'ofos betaner echod, zu acher zu. So, woman number one, she puts her dough in the oven first, and women number two and three wait around till it's baked. Then it's baked, then woman number two puts her dough into the oven, wait around until that's baked, and then woman number three puts her dough into the oven, wait around until that's baked. No problem. In the small period of time, while each dough is being baked in the oven, the other doughs are not necessarily being worked upon, or they are being worked upon to a small amount, and in that short period of time, we don't have to be concerned that they become chametz. The Chum disagree. The Chumrim, no. If you want to have three women working at the same time, they have to do it in a sequential order. Shalosh Noshim, Oskos, Bebotzek, Biachas, Kiachas, if you want them to go and work at the same time, they can't start at the same time. So what you do is, you have them starting at different times. So the first woman will start kneading her dough, the other two women don't do anything yet. Achas Losha. Then, as soon as she's done with the Losha process, so then she, woman number one, can do the Orechas process to go and shape it into the right form. The Achas Orechas, when the first woman is doing already the Orechas process, the second woman can start kneading her dough. And then, after the first woman is done with the Orechas process, she can put it into the oven. The Achas Ofa. And then, the second woman, who had done the kneading process, can at that point, when the first woman put her dough into the oven, do the Orechas process, the arranging of the dough into the right shape. And then the third woman, at that point in time, she starts the kneading process. So it's a sequential type of a process. And this way, it is always being worked upon. No dough is ever left alone while the other doughs are being baked. Each process, there are three steps over here. The kneading process, the Orechas process, and then the Ofa process. And they go round robin. They keep on doing this. Each one is constantly one step ahead of her adjacent colleague, who's one step ahead of her adjacent colleague. And this way the three women can go and bake at all times and process at all times because none of them are actually at the same step. That's what the Chum say to do. And Rabbi Kiva, as Gemara will explain, explains the Chachamim and says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, the reason why the Chachamim are right and Rabbi Gamliel is wrong is because lo kol hanoshim, velo kol haitzim, velo kol hatanurim shavim. Because Rabbi Gamliel, you're saying that's no problem. We know for a fact that in the time that the first one puts in the oven, the other two doughs won't get chametz. And even the time the second one puts in the oven, the third woman's dough won't become chametz. How can you possibly say that, Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Gamliel? Not all women are the same. One of them worked a different way than the other one worked. So the doughs aren't all mixed the same way. And not all the firewood is the same. And not all the ovens are the same. Some are preheated, some are not preheated, as Gemara will explain. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva is explaining why Rabbi Gamliel is wrong and why the Chachamim are right. But as the Gemara will explain, Rabbi Gamliel answers back to Rabbi Akiva and says, Zak Klal. He says, no, the reason why my opinion is right is because Tofach, if you see that any of the doughs, while they're not being worked upon, while the woman who put her first dough in the oven has put her dough in the oven, the other two look like they're starting to swell up a little bit, Tofach, so then tiltosh betzonin, so put some cold water on them, and in this way, they won't become chametz, like we said previously from Ben Beseira. If you go put cold water on it, that aborts or prevents the chametz process from continuing. So put some cold water on it, and then when the first woman takes her dough out of the oven, you put the second dough in the oven, and the third woman, you put a little bit more cold water on it, and therefore, none of the doughs will become chametz. Gemara says, Tana Rabbanu, we learned the Braisa, this process that I just said, the Braisa says it beferish. Losha, when the first one is doing the kneading, himekatefes. So as soon as she's done with the kneading, so then she does the orechas, because tefes and orechas are the same step. So number one, she does kneading, while the other two do nothing. And then number one does the second step, mekatefes or orechas, and then the chaverta, losha tachta. Now, woman number two starts the kneading process. Then, mekatefes, when the second woman starts doing the kneading process, because she finished her kneading, so she starts doing the orechas, or mekatefes process, the first woman is baking, and the chaverta, mekatefes tachtecha, the second woman is now doing the orechas, and the third woman starts the kneading process. Again, they're each doing a step ahead of the other one. And then, ofahi, when the third person is done baking, so the first person is finished the baking process, the second person has finished the oreches or mekatefes process, and the third person has finished the kneading process, they start the cycle again. Now, v'chaverta ofer, number two now bakes, tachtel, v'ashlish mekatefes, number three goes from the kneading to the mekatefes process, and the first one can start kneading again, v'chaveres chalila, kozman shosek is mabatzik, ino boli dechimot, and each one is constantly working on the doughs at their own pace, and therefore there's no concern. Then we quote the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva, Meir, lo kol anash v'chule. Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Gamliel, the reason why you're wrong, Tanya, the Brisa says, explains that I'm Rabbi Kiva to Rabbi Gamliel, Dati l'Rabbi Gamliel, I explained to Rabbi Gamliel, Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Rabbi Gamliel was his Rabbi, so he says to him in the proper way, didn't the Rabbi teach us, or let the Rabbi teach us, Benoshim Zrizos, is the Rabbi talking about when he's saying that all three women can go need at the same time, are they all especially diligent women? Or is the Rebbe talking about Obinoshim and Shein Zrizos? Is the Rebbe talking about women that aren't so diligent? Does that apply as well? And when the Rebbe said that they can do this, Beitz and Lachem with dry wood that will burn very hot, or Beitz and Midation, or with wood that's moist, then it won't burn so hot, and therefore it won't bake it so fast, and maybe it will turn chametz in the process. Or is the Rebbe talking about Tanur Cham, a preheated oven, or B'tan Tzonin, you're starting off with a cold oven? In other words, Rebbe, Rabbi Gamliel, there are so many differences over here, how can you say simply, go and do this? So Amali, so Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Gamliel responded to him and said, in this brisa, Ein l'cho el l'mash shanachom. We follow what the rabbis told us. And the rabbi said, the three women can go and knead at the same time, and it's not a concern. Why? Because, Ya'klal, if they were to see, Tofach, that one of the doughs, in the second woman or the third woman, is starting to swell up a little bit and begin the chimutz process, simple, tiltosh b'tzonin, go and put some cold water on it, and in this way, it will prevent the chimutz process from occurring. Then when the first woman is finally done with the baking takes a very short period of time, second woman can put it in. Third woman can put it in afterwards, and therefore it won't become chametz. That's what Rabbi Gamliel responded to Rabbi Akiva, both in the Braisa as well as in our Mishnah. Now we begin the next Mishnah. Here again, we're describing something called Se'or, which is not to be confused with Se'or. Se'or is pure chametz, that's sourdough. Se'or is a process in the step of making something chametz. When you start off with the dough is absolutely not chametz. The first step in the chimetz process is something called kisuf, or machsif ponov. So this, according to some, is absolutely nothing. According to others, this is the first step in the chimetz process. Then you have siduk, which means karnei chagovim, like the antenna of a grasshopper. And then you have all of these little cracks clumping together, interlacing together, and that is the stage where it's definitely nistika, and it definitely is chametz. That is the earliest stage where it's definitely agreed to by everybody to be pure chametz. So now, we'll see there's a machlokes. We've mentioned already previously Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir. We'll see it as well here in our Mishnah, that the opinion of Se'or will depend on whether you hold that that's the first stage, which is hichsif ponov, or we say that's the second stage when it's karnei chagov, when you have siduk like karnei chagov. So the Mishnah begins, Se'or yisarif. The stage of Se'or is something that can no longer be eaten, it has to be burned. However, va'ochlo potu, but you're not chayev kares or even malchus if you eat it at this stage in time. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Siduk yisarif, but if it reached the stage where it gets these cracks in it, the karnei chagovim stage, so then according to this man, the Omar, that the Hichsif Panov, the first stage, is already going to be a Isser to eat it. So then when it reaches this stage, it's a real Isser to eat it in terms of Yinal Chayiv Koris. You have to burn it. Va'ochlo Chayiv Koris. Siduk Yisarev, Va'ochlo Chayiv Koris. Now, I explained to you the Mishnah as if Se'or, the first stage, which we said you're not allowed to eat it, but you're not Chayiv an Isser of Koris, I explained that as if it was Hichsif Panov. There is another way to learn this that says, no, this first stage of Hichsif Ponov is nothing. And the Se'or stage is only when you start getting cracks like Karnei Chagovim. And then when it gets Siduk to the cracks that are multiply interlaced with each other, that's the stage that it's Siduk Yisarev, Vochul Chayiv Koris. And that's what the Mishnah is now going to explore. What are these two opinions? You could have learned this first part of the Mishnah like either opinion. So Gemara now, Mishnah says, Ezu Se'or. What exactly is Se'or? So the first opinion that we give here is Kicharnei Chagovim, that the first stage of Se'or is not Hichsif Ponov, but it's when it reaches the stage of Karnei Chagovim, which when you start having some cracks in the dough, like the antenna of a grasshopper. Siduk is when these cracks start to interlace with each other, so then that's Shinis Arvu Sudokin Zebizeh, and now that's the stage where it's Vadei Chometz and Yechayiv Kores. This is the more lenient opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't recognize Hichsif Panov. He says the Se'or, first stage, is Karnei Chagovim, and then real Chometz is when it's Nisarvu Stokim Zebizeh.
As opposed to the Chachamim, no. Zeh v'zeh ha'ochlo chayiv kares. They say even this first stage of karni chagodim is going to be a chiyuv of kares. That is real chametz. Because they hold that the siyor is the first stage of hichsif ponov. The ezo siyor, which one do they say is siyor? Kol shechsifu ponov. The dough gets somewhat whiter, pale, like a person. Kol shechsifu ponov ki adam she'omdu sarosav, like a person who his hair stands up in fright. He's so scared, so his face becomes white too. So that's the hichsifu ponov stage. And according to the Chachamim's opinion, that is going to be the first stage. Hichsiponov is an earlier stage, which is already also to eat. Now the Gemara starts off, it says, Tanu Rabbanu, we're learning the Braisa, Ezeu Seir. The Braisa goes and reiterates what we have in our Mishnah. What is the stage of Seir? So according to the first man, the Omar, which we'll see is the opinion of Meir, Kol Shechsifu Ponov, Ki Adam Shomdu Sarosa. That's the stage of the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Rav Meir is the Chachamim in our Mishnah. Unusual, normally Rav Meir is the Tanakama. Here in our Mishnah, Rav Meir is the Chachamim. Second opinion, and that is that seer starts already when the dough starts to turn somewhat pale, like a person's pale face when he's frightened and his hair stands up on edge. Siduk is only kikhani chagovim. That's only when you have some cracks, like the antenna of a grasshopper, just starting to form the siduk stage. So that already is considered vadai chometz, yechayv koris for eating it. Divrei Rav Meir. And the Chachamim in this Braisa, that's actually Rav Yehuda. We flip around the Chachamim. The Chachamim doesn't necessarily always mean the same opinion. All the Chachamim throughout Shas aren't the same Chachamim. In this Braisa, the Chachamim are actually Rav Yehuda. And in our Mishnah, the Chachamim were actually Rav Meir. So in the Braisa continues, the Chachamim say no, the Chichsiv Ponov stage is nothing. And only Ezo Seir, what's the first stage in the Chimutz process? That's Kicharne Chagavim. Then you have the starting to have some cracks like the antenna of a grasshopper, but not interlaced yet. Siduk is when they start to interlace. That's when Shinis Arvu Sudokim Zem Zeh, all these cracks are combining together, and now, Zem Zeh Ha'ochlo Chayiv Koris. Only now is it Vadei Chometz, Chometz Gomur, and Yechayiv Koris for eating it. Again, the Chachamim in our Mishnah are different than the Chachamim in the Braisa, the Chachamim in the Mishnah of Meir, and the Chachamim in the Braisa of Yehuda. So it's basically a machlokas, Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says the Chimutz process starts only at the Karni Chagavim stage, and Rav Meir says it starts at the Kisuf Ponov stage. Now, we learned in our Mishnah of Anantanan, Siyar Yisarif Ochlo Potter. Our Mishnah says that if you eat Siyar, you're not allowed to, but you're not Chayiv Kares, not Chayiv even Malkis, Divrei Yehuda. So, our Mishnah and the Braisa seem to be at odds. In our Mishnah, he seems to say that Siyar is not Chayiv Kares. In the Braisa, he seems to say that you are Chayiv Kares for eating Siyar. So, where it says, Ema, L'Rav Meir, you have to read it properly. According to Rav Meir, that's Hichsiv Ponov, so Zev Zeh Ochlo Chayiv Kares. Once it reaches already the stage of Siduk, even if it's karnei chagavim, and never mind, certainly if it's interlaced, then you chayiv kares. And for the seor, which is hichsiv ponov stage, you're not chayiv kares, but you're not allowed to eat it. So that's how you reconcile it, because it's really Rav Meir's opinion and not Rav Yehuda's opinion. And Omar Rav explains, my time to Rav Meir, why does Rav Meir say that you chayiv already kares, even when it reaches just the karnei chagavim stage? Because he says it's impossible to reach the karnei chagavim stage, en l'cho kol sedek v'sedek milamala, if you just have some minor cracks on the top, shein lo kamo sedokim milamata, you actually have interlacing on the bottom. So even though you only see karnei chagavim type, little types of cracks, but they're actually deeper inside and underneath it, you're going to have much more interlacing of the cracks, so when it reaches the karnei chagavim stage, it's actually the full Siduk stage, and therefore Yechayev Kares, according to Rav Meir. With that, we conclude today's shir.